Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
So treat her right, mother. I always love her, my mother. So treat her right, treat her right.
Happy Sunday and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Welcome to the Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor, my name is Ed Maher with the Midwest Coalition of Labor, and I'm joined today by Phil Davidson from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Good morning, Ed, and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you, too.
What a way to intro the show, Mr. T.
Mr. T, you got that
the
one.
Best.
Have you ever seen the video for that? It's on YouTube.
I think you showed it to me, yeah.
There's nothing more 80s than seeing Mr. T dancing, singing a song about his mother.
No, that really defines and epitomizes the 1980s decade for us. And what a wordsmith he is.
He really is.
Mother, there is no other. I mean, he's basically Shakespeare.
That's like my favorite Mother's Day song. It might be the also only Mother's Day song that I know, but...
I'm so happy that he's from, well, I don't know where he was from originally.
He was from Chicago. Stallone found him. He was a bouncer in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. How can I forget that? But yeah, that he's associated with Chicago makes me so happy.
All right. Enough about Mr. T.
Yeah.
And on to mothers.
Yeah.
Do you have big plans? I mean, we're both probably in the doghouse for being down here first thing in the morning.
I know.
Doting on our wives and mothers.
Duty calls.
Yeah. So do you have any big plans, or are you not at liberty to talk about those?
We're going to go to brunch. I'm going to bring my lovely wife and her mom to brunch. In Oak Brook.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. And then I will be talking to my mom and sending her a very, very nice gift. Lavish. I can't talk about that. I don't want to spoil on the air because she's a loyal listener as well. But
okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I got out of the brunch arms race this year because I tried to make reservations about 5 weeks ago and everything was pretty much full.
Yeah. You got to start making plans. Pretty much tomorrow, the day after Mother's Day for the next year, you know?
Yeah. It's like you have to be thinking about this on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I've got to set up reminders in my phone.
I mean, they got to stock up for all the mimosas that those moms order, you know? So
that's for sure.
Yeah.
Especially my mom.
Yeah.
Man.
Bottomless.
I don't like to talk about it. But yeah, so we've got a big show going on today. We've got a guest, and that is Ron Whittingham.
Yes.
Owner of Megan Financial.
Megan Financial, yeah, one of the pillars of the Worker's Mic, I would say.
Yeah, and he's got some interesting things to talk about today, and we'll get into later on in the show as well. There was a story that came out this week from the New York Times about 401ks, and
yes.
It was, were 401ks a mistake? And, you know, we'll talk at length about it, and I'm very interested to hear Ron's take on it. But basically what they're saying is this wasn't, it's not providing enough money for people to actually retire, which is why you have older people in the workforce and people who retire, you know, they work, retire, and repeat.
Yeah, it's incredibly enlightening. Thanks for letting me know about it. And I wouldn't say it's uplifting because there's a lot of information in there that you're like, oh, no, but it's something that people should read.
Yeah, I mean, the first step to anything, including saving for retirement, if you haven't started, is, you know, recognizing that you've got to get started with it. So Ron will be in a few minutes talking about that, and that'll be great. That's Can't Miss Radio, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. You have a story about a carpenter, a member of your union who has a pizza place.
Yeah. Shout out to Uncle Jerry's Pizza in Cary, Illinois. I got to visit there last week for a story we're doing about him in our magazine, and I gotta say, unbiased, maybe the best deep dish I've ever had.
What'd you have in it?
What kind did I get?
Yeah, what kind of
I got the hot honey pepperoni.
Man.
Yeah, right. It's the real deal. Uncle
so are you
Jerry,
a deep dish guy?
I am more traditional tavern style,
right.
You know, but
makes sense.
I'll dabble in deep dish now and then.
It's like a once a year, if that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a commitment. You know,
right.
You don't want to go eat some deep dish and go try to do anything productive.
You got to have like a bed or something to lay on within like a 20-minute radius of wherever
correct.
You're eating deep
dish. Yeah, it's lights out after eating deep dish. But
that's for sure.
This was a lighter deep dish, and man, I keep thinking about it. It was really, really good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of it again?
Uncle Jerry's Pizza Company.
Well, if you're looking for somewhere to take your mother because you're like me and you didn't make reservations early enough, check it out. It's out in Cary.
Yeah. Love supporting a union member-owned business, we should say.
That's right. Well, we got to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a minute with Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial. So stick with us here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher with Phil Davidson, and we are joined today by Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial. What's happening, Ron?
Nothing, Ed. Just happy to be here, man.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, you know, thanks for reminding me. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I know you're listening, so.
What's your mom's name?
Helen.
All right, Helen. Happy Mother's Day. We're happy to have you out there as a listener.
She's a loyal listener?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shout out to Helen, then.
Especially when I'm on.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to give her some Listener of the Week treatment, I feel like.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Come back for the final segment for more on that.
There we go. Teaser.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had mentioned earlier, there was an article in the New York Times, or maybe it was the New York Times Magazine, and it was entitled, "Was the 401k a Mistake?" And... you know, talking about retirement stuff, when you come in, you are a wealth of knowledge, and your team at Megan Financial is spectacular with all sorts of different, you know, vehicles for retirement funding. But this 401k article came out, and it the theme of it was basically just this was never supposed to be the only thing that people had to rely on. And now folks are working later and later into their lives and not really becoming aware of other vehicles that'll, you know, give them a full retirement. And I think it really emphasizes the importance of what you guys do at Megan Financial. So, you know, Megan is the financial planning provider for the Midwest Coalition of Labor. And, you know, take us through a little bit about what the process looks like when somebody gives you a call and says, you know, hey, how do I get started?
Yep. So what we do, I mean, we know a lot about a little. So it's we know we're specialists in these pension plans.
Right.
And being a union member, a lot of the planning part of it is done for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to work every day and a certain amount of money is put in your defined benefit plan that pays you your pension. A lot of the unions have these defined contribution plans, which are very similar to a 401k, but the money's just set aside for you. So all we really do is we sit down with the family, you know, husband, wife, the participant, a spouse, and we explain what those benefits are. And you know, we know what they look like in retirement because we've retired so many union people. So we know the vehicles that they can invest in to enhance that retirement.
Yeah. Right?
So as a union person, all those defined benefit plans, that pension that everybody wants, the ones that a lot of people don't have, like you mentioned, you know, people are more reliant on those 401k plans. Well, those pensions, all of that's taxable. Social Security, also taxable.
Right.
Those 401k or defined contribution plans, it's all taxable.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to, you know, buy a home in Florida, you can't use your pension because that pays you monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a bunch of money out of that 401k plan, you're going to pay a lot of money in tax. So
right.
What we advise a lot of these younger people to do is to set up like a Roth IRA.
Right.
You know, and that's something. So you put money into that, it grows tax deferred, and you don't pay any tax when you take the money out. So that can fund a large purchase because there's no taxability to that.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the benefits of that, it always seemed to me, was that you're in a traditional defined contribution plan, you're paying tax not only on the money that you put in, but on all the earnings as well. So with a Roth IRA or, you know, a tax-deferred vehicle like that, you don't have to pay any taxes when you take the money out at all. So everything you earn over all those years is just coming at you tax-free.
That's a huge benefit. And, you know, we try to, you know, we talk to apprentices. We do financial literacy seminars for unions. And again, a lot of it's just explaining what the benefits are because the participant doesn't have to do a lot. There's not a lot of heavy lifting on their own because it's all done for them. But these Roth IRAs or any investment, I mean, the earlier you start, you know, you start putting a couple $100 in there at the age of, you know, 25, it's amazing how much that will grow to.
For sure. And
it gives you more options. And, you know, you're not as reliant on what the union is providing for you. So you have, you know, if you want to retire early, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you have to explain this to these people, to the participants, and, you know, that way they have some skin in the game too, so they kind of understand what the investments are, and With a Roth IRA too, you can always take the principal out. So, if the economy goes in the tank and work is tough, I mean, you have another, asset that you can draw from.
Is that tax-free if you take the principal out?
Yep.
Oh, okay. And do most people have put a percentage in a Roth versus a traditional 401k? Is that advisable to have a little bit of both?
I think it is. I mean, so when you put money into a Roth IRA, you're not getting that tax deduction.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you might pay a little bit more tax. Mm-hmm. But when companies, if they have a match, the participant would put the money into the Roth 401k side. The match part, the company wants a deduction, they put it into the traditional 401k side. So it's kind of almost done a little bit for you.
Got it.
So I got you.
Each reaps the benefits of...
And that's one of the things that I always hear when people are talking about financial literacy is if you have a job where they offer any kind of match for employer match for 401k, and sometimes it sounds like a small number, 1 or 2 or 3% that the employer will match, but people usually say like max out into that and get as much of the employer match as you possibly can, right? Because it's free money.
Yeah, it's free. You're leaving it on the table if you're not putting that money in. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But again, and that's on the non-pension, non-union side.
Right.
All of the participants that we work with, I would say 98% of our business is all unions.
Mm-hmm. And of your clients, most have defined benefits, would you say?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I would say the vast majority, not all of them. They have some, there's some, always some sort of defined benefit plan in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know what the number is. Do you know what the number is of the amount of, or the percentage of workers who have a pension plan in America?
It's under 5%.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And in Chicago, all my friends are in unions.
I mean, right.
My mom, happy Mother's Day again.
Yeah.
She was she's a retired school teacher. So, okay. She has a defined benefit plan. So a lot of people that I knew, I grew up on the South Side, they're firefighters, cops, members of a union, and mm-hmm. they all have pensions. So I was really... I'm surprised that it's that low.
Nationwide. We're the last workforce that has it, and that's what they talked about in that article. I think in like the 60s and 70s, it was like 50% of the country had the defined benefit and a pension plan.
What we have here doesn't exist in a lot of places. And
no.
When you hear the numbers on the amount of people that are living paycheck to paycheck, when are you going to retire? At some point, when you're getting on in years and you don't have much longer to go, it's never too late to start saving, but at some point you're not going to reap a whole lot of growth out of that.
The age group facing retirement, people in their late 50s to early 60s, it's like 45% don't have anything saved for retirement.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's a real problem.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And that's a real... You don't want to have to be 75 years old and have to go to work on Monday.
And that's what's coming. And it's already happening now, but it's going to get worse. I think you're going to see people working into their 80s. I mean...
Right. Well, the head of BlackRock, one of the biggest asset managers, I think they have like $10 trillion under management, he said that the system in America is not working.
No.
Too many people can never stop working. And he was pointing to what they do in Australia, which is, I think, 85% of workers in Australia are covered under this plan that they call the super. And your employer puts 11% of your salary into an account that's financially managed for your retirement. So they have... a lot of money going into retirement investing, but then they also, they don't have this sort of elderly poverty problem that
yes.
we have in the United States, which is, I mean, everybody has kind of seen it. It's like that movie Nomadland.
Mm-hmm.
Ever see that where they're in the vans? It's sad to see somebody at an advanced age struggling to just get by.
Yeah.
All the more reason to know more and to build your financial literacy early on. So when you're teaching financial literacy, what are some of the most, like, the basic things that people don't know that they should know?
I mean, a lot of it, I'm surprised every day what, especially in the union world, how people don't understand what those benefits are and what they're going to be in retirement. Thankfully, it's done for them.
Yeah.
But I've sat with people, with union members 5 years prior to retirement, and they really have no idea what their income is going to be. I'm a planner, obviously, that's kind of like what I do, so I have to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they're just done for them. So I just think they just don't understand the impact of those benefits. It's mm-hmm. just amazing. Now, the good thing, again, is it's done for them. People who don't have that money saved, who haven't put that money in the 401k, and, have maybe started later in life, right now inflation is kicking in, people have a hard time just making it, having a house, having a car, feeding the kids.
Right.
You know, the first thing they're going to cut is retirement.
Yeah.
Well, they can't kick the can down too far.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's just understanding saving and what the impact is going to be.
Yeah. First, I mean, when you're young, so I've, you know, sometimes it might feel like there's not a lot left from your paycheck. But if you've got five or six streaming services, maybe knock a couple of them off and just save whatever you can. Because the younger you start, I had a pre-calculus teacher in high school. And for the first week of the class, he just taught us about compound interest. And he's like,
it's amazing.
He's like, if you learn one thing from me, he's like, get some money from your parents, start an IRA, and look, he's like teaching us math. And like, this is, if you start and do this for 5 years and then never put another penny in, you'll, retire with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, I was like, wow, that's a great idea. It's exactly what I'm going to do. And then I promptly did absolutely nothing about that.
Yeah. Now back to playing video games, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Ed, we do that at these financial literacy seminars. Right. I mean, it's mind boggling.
Mm-hmm.
I show people, if you put $200 away a month and you start at 25, 35, and 45 and end at retirement at 65, it is mind boggling how the difference of starting younger, what the impact is.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like you don't even believe it.
And that's just based on the market?
Yeah, it's compound the return interest. compounding. The earlier you start. It's it really is. I mean, once you show them this and the impact of it, I think it gets them a little excited. So I think that, you know, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, so you probably have, you're in the fortunate position of having these kitchen table meetings with people, which I know that you do. And the news often being better for them than they thought it was going to be.
It's all the time. I mean, I honestly, Ed, I've retired probably just me physically 1,000 union people.
Yeah.
Over my career, I've been doing it for 25 years, and I've seen 1,000 success stories. You know, yeah. I'm seeing these people living their lives. They're traveling. They're having a great time, spending time with the grandkids. They don't have to worry about the market because that pension check's coming every month. They have money. You know, I was just talking to a guy this morning who's selling his place in Florida because they have a second home in Florida, and he wants to spend more time with the grandkids. I mean, it's like $1 million home.
Right.
It's just, you know, $1 million second home. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, just went to work every day.
Are you seeing the, what do they call it, the silver tsunami of all the people, the baby boomers who are now approaching retirement age? You know, I think there's like 4 million 65-year-olds or something.
Yeah.
Are you seeing a lot of that activity now?
So in the union world, I mean, a lot of it's dependent on how much work is available, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these people started their careers, you know, 30 plus years ago, and there's not more of them because there's more of them. It was just they're in the union. It was a defined amount of people that were let in. So really, we don't see a ton of that.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
All right. That's interesting. So, I mean, if you're young and you're looking for a career where you're going to be able to retire and do some of these things that people want to do when they retire, a union is a good option. If you're in a union, you probably don't know as much as you could about your benefits. And that's where, Ron, you come in for MCL union members. Your services are free. Your financial planning services through their whole career.
Yeah, Joe, it's like free 99. I mean, it's free. I mean, just take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Just figure it out. I mean, the earlier you have a good understanding of what the impact of those benefits are going to be, you can do some stuff pretty cool outside of that,
mm-hmm,
that will enhance that.
What you guys do is amazing. And anybody who's out there listening, you know, who needs to get started with this and needs to begin learning a little bit more about financial literacy, how can they get in touch with you?
So our phone number, 708-444-1090, or we have a website, megent.com.
All right, awesome. Well, we've got to take a break. Ron from Megan Financial, thank you so much again, and enjoy whatever you've got planned for your mom, Helen, on Mother's Day.
Thanks, fellas.
So we'll see you soon, and we'll be right back with more Workers' Mike here on 720 WGN.
Ron Whittingham, Investment Executive, 15321 South 94th Avenue, Suite 100, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462, 708-444-1090. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and a registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. The views depicted on this broadcast are general in nature and are provided for informational personal use only. The views are not necessarily those of Cetera Advisors, LLC. They should not be considered as specific investment or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. Keep in mind that investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Investment decisions should be based on individuals' own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Consult your investment and/or tax professional regarding your unique situation.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Last segment, we just had Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial in, sponsor of the show, and just an all-around tremendous guy. So it's a pleasure to have him in, right?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of very useful insight, and I hope that folks out there are making the calls and getting in touch with him, because they'll be better off if they do.
I know. I feel like whenever he's talking about getting more up to speed on financial literacy, he's like looking directly at me like, Phil, come on, man. It's time.
Well, it's free, Phil. What are you waiting for?
I know. I have no excuse.
All right. We'll get on that.
I am one of those people in those targeted plans. I'm like, well, I think it's being taken care of. But, you know, which is a nice thing to have, especially when you're working with a union. But
for sure.
It's always... can't hurt to get a little more sophisticated about your, you know, your livelihood when you retire and how you're going to make ends meet. It's always good,
good
to keep tabs on.
The Times gave a number in that article that I've referenced that said if you want to have the same quality of life in retirement, you should plan on having at least 80% of the annual income in retirement than you had when you were working. And it makes sense, but I was still kind of surprised to hear that. You know, you hear the story, as you brought up, about how many, it's an enormous part of the population that doesn't have anything saved for retirement. And it goes in to talk about, you know, back in sort of, let's say, like the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, companies used to provide pensions.
Yes.
And a pension, a defined benefit pension, the way it works is based on however long you work, you get up to a certain benefit level. And when you retire, you're going to get X dollars a month. And if you live
for, no matter what.
Yeah, every month, the check's coming. If you live to be 100,
based on market conditions,
if you live 50 more years in retirement, you will get that check every month.
Yeah.
And you can set it up in many where if you pass away, your wife or your spouse or your significant other will get that check. And it's a great thing, but so few people have them now. And companies have switched over to 401ks. Why it's cheaper, because, you know, the match that we talked about in the last segment, where if you have a 401k through your job, you can get an employer match. A lot of times I remember it when I was younger as being like 2%, 3%.
Right.
So
4% would be considered a lot.
Yeah. Right. You're putting in 4%, they're putting in 4%, and you have a total of 8. That's not going to, you know, over the course of your lifetime, it's not going to amount to enough to retire with any level of comfort.
Yeah.
And not
to mention, as we talked about, so many companies aren't even offering the match anymore. You're
right.
On your own. You got to take whatever you can from your salary. And again, this is the problem that they discuss about inequality in this country of, yes, if you're pulling in $1 million a year,
mm-hmm.
your 401k is going to be just fine, right? Like
right.
those, in the, you look at the returns on 401ks, like those people, it's they're doing great. But
yeah.
The people who work at lower income levels, you know, they don't have the money to pull out. Even trying to pull out 5% can be difficult. And then, you know, if it's 5% of, you know, a five-figure salary, like, yeah, there's just not enough there to really make an impact. And then when it's based on market fluctuations, that's just where it becomes a problem. And I mean, as this article points out, it's not going away. It's likely going to get worse before it gets better.
For sure. I mean, people who typically would never be talking about, government policy on pension reforms favorably are saying, you know, if capitalism is going to survive, we have to have generations of people that can afford to buy things.
Correct.
And, you know, working in the union world, I've heard a million different arguments against pensions. And most of them come from either people in investment companies that, you know, make fees on 401ks that they're not making with pensions. So they'd love to see that money from large pension funds shifted over. But people will say that the problem with pensions is that, you know, they're not stable or they could go away anytime. But the reality is it's expensive for these companies to operate them. So what they did was they just found this other vehicle, this other place to put money, and it puts all of the risk on the worker.
Yes.
It's just, here's a little bit of money. You figure out how to invest.
Good luck.
And they'll say things like, you know, workers, you shouldn't want the union investing your money. You should be able to invest your own money. And that's the one that always gets me because, you know, people don't fly their own planes. People don't take out their own appendix. There are certain things that you leave to the professionals. And for me, for sure, I leave financial matters to professionals because if you gave me money and just sent me into the stock market, I'd be like a little kid with $100. You know, I would just spend it all on, you know, something flashy and it would be gone.
For sure. I mean, it's borderline malpractice to be able to tell your workers, hey, you need to have your own financial sophistication to make the right and smart investments for your future. And I mean, how on the one hand does our country acknowledge that we have a crisis of financial literacy? And then on the other hand, we have employers saying, go figure it out, everybody. Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And I recall reading that it was basically this philosophy came out of the Reagan era,
right?
And about personal responsibility, you know. And it's like, okay, well, we're seeing the ramifications of that and the results. And the results are people don't have enough money to save for retirement, and a lot of times through no fault of their own. I mean, some people during the 2008 recession, I mean, they lost a third, half, I mean, probably even more of their 401k, you know, as like, because the market tanked.
People were saying they had a 201k.
Exactly.
301k.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that happened back then was the companies whose stock prices plummeted, they got bailouts. But the people who were trying to retire, who lost half their retirement, they didn't get anything.
Right.
I mean, they were just sort of innocent bystanders.
Right. Where was the bailout? There was no, there was no, bailout for the common person. There was bailouts for multi-billion-dollar banks.
No, really, but never will be. You send somebody a check for $1,000 during a pandemic, and everybody says it's welfare and socialism, and you know, corporate socialism is alive and well
for sure.
But the retirement equation, when people used to be able to afford to retire with some dignity and go to Florida or, like, you know, whatever, just live a good, comfortable life, there were like three legs on this stool. That's how I always think of it. There's individual investments like 401ks, stuff like that, Social Security, and a pension, which back then a lot of the people, it was single earner households. A lot of times the man was out working and he'd worked for a company that had a pension. So when you retired, you had those things.
Yes.
And the 401k came along and immediately was just kind of exploited as an alternative. And even the guy who started like the first 401k plan, he says all the time, you can find interviews with him everywhere, just saying, this was never supposed to be the way this worked. This was supposed to be like extra investing.
This was supposed to be one leg of the stool.
Other things.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, we're in this long experiment that I think started in about 1980 with these 401ks. So we're 45 years into this experiment. And when you see the number of elderly people returning to the workforce or people just never retiring, the experiment has failed.
Absolutely.
So at some point, like, how quickly can we get on board with saying, let's take some sort of a different look at this? Do what other countries are doing, because this isn't working. And, you know, every generation of people that continue into this, it's sort of a disservice. We've got to, you know, at least give people the tools that they need to plan and retire. You know, because it's in the country's best interest to have folks who can afford to buy things and folks who aren't relying on the government just for basics.
Right, and that's what's happening here. I mean, it almost seems like it was a cynical ploy by corporations to be like, all right, well, we will get rid of pensions. We will give them this 401k that we know is not going to save them. And then what happens when they're old and retired? We'll just rely on the government to swoop in and pay for them with their Social Security benefits, Medicaid, Medicare. You know, I mean, this is what's happening. Like this system is basically forcing more government intervention, which
it's almost
the opposite of capitalism.
Well,
so here we go.
Capitalism gone so far that it's going to result in socialism.
Exactly, that's what's happening.
It's crazy, but I can't recommend this article highly enough.
And the book I'm going to read that book.
Yeah, it's called "Work, Retire, Repeat."
Yes,
and the article was in the New York Times. It's "Were 401ks a Mistake?"
But check it out. Her name.
It's fantastic reading, and you'll get a lot.
The author is Teresa. Hopefully, I'm not butchering this. Ghilarducci, who is economist at the New School in New York.
Nice.
And
love that New School.
Yes.
I'm more of an old school guy.
She's got an impressive background. I think she taught at Notre Dame and, Yeah, smart lady.
So check that out. To change topics a little bit, when we had Ron in, he was talking about the need to start investing young.
Yep.
And it plays into something that I saw come out of Missouri this week, which was not really investing young, but more working young.
Because
these people are at it again, Phil. The child labor is spreading. People are rolling back child labor laws all over the Midwest.
Yep.
And in Missouri,
exploit more workers.
Right. In Missouri, they had Representative Sherry Reich, who stood up and called youth and teenagers lazy and entitled. And she got up and gave a speech and said that she started working when she was 9 years old. And that's what, you know, that's what kids should be doing. They should take some responsibility and not rely on the government to do everything for them. So this is insanity.
Yeah.
When you're talking about 9-year-old kids who don't have a job are lazy and entitled and relying on the government. No, they're like learning how to multiply.
Exactly.
They're not worried about bringing home money, nor should they be.
No. You need to educate yourself before you can be a productive member of the workforce. You're just a body out in the field if you're 9 years old. Like, what kind of work are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Who wants to put kids, you know, we've talked so much about, you know, what kind of state would loosen laws and say, you know, we've got to get kids working in slaughterhouses and breweries and serving alcohol. And,
yeah.
You know, kids should be learning, you know, the children are the future. I don't know if you ever heard that, Phil.
I believe they are.
But, you know, we got to let them lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Show them all they possess inside.
Et cetera.
Something like that.
Something like that. Okay. But so the, you know, that's what's going on in Missouri. Just a stone's throw away. WGN may actually on a clear day reach down to Missouri. But
absolutely.
But if you can hear that and you live in Missouri, you know, fight the power.
And is this just happening everywhere now? Like when?
All over the Midwest.
Yeah.
Not in Illinois, though. I mean, we are an island because Ohio's doing this stuff. Indiana recently passed something to do with work. There's no less restrictions on the hours that kids can work and how late they can work during school weeks. Iowa has
basically...
It's
like an arms race to be like, who's got the best child labor laws? It's like, what is going on here?
Whose kids are working the most hours during the school year?
Yeah.
But Illinois is doing something good. They're working on a law right now that would limit the amount of hours that people, I think, under the age of...
Of 15 and younger can work weekly to be 18 hours when they're in school.
Right.
It passed in the Senate and is in the House, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, at least in our state, it should comfort everyone listening that we live in a state where they're at least trying to keep kids from working too much. Like, there's a balance. I mean, I started working when I was 14, so this lady from Missouri would probably think I'm just a bum.
Yeah.
But I waited till the ripe old age of 14. You know, it's important for kids to work and important to understand, you know, where money comes from. But
what was your first job?
I worked at a hardware store.
Really? At 14?
I worked at hardware stores all through high school, and I loved it. It was they were cool.
And how many hours a week, do you remember?
Oh, it probably wasn't much. I mean, with weekends, it was probably in the neighborhood of, like, 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Just enough money to, like, buy CDs and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, but we're moving in the right direction in Illinois, and that should be, you know, comforting to everybody. Another state that's doing some great work is Vermont. You know,
the Green Mountain State.
The Green Mountain State, a state that I have a specific affection for.
As do I.
You know, you lived there, and I've spent a lot of time there. Vermont is a really, really beautiful kind of, it's like going back in time.
It is. It's
things are kind of simple. Everybody's pretty nice to each other. And
it's very easy to navigate. I mean, there's basically a north-south highway and an east-west highway, and that's it.
Well, the only state that has fewer people than Vermont is Wyoming. They have very, very, their biggest town has like 100,000 people. But it's, it's a great place. I used to go there a lot during Christmas, and it's postcard.
It's less than that. I think their biggest city is Burlington. It's like 40,000.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's less than 100.
Yeah, it is less.
Don't
than
100. Check my math.
Sorry. Who am
Don't
I?
Don't you ever do that again?
I'm a school marm. I'm sorry.
Cut his mic, Kevin. but Vermont passed a state version of the PRO Act, and the PRO Act is the comprehensive labor reform that's been sitting in Congress, dying in
for
Congress.
A decade?
For,
longer?
I mean,
2 decades?
It's kind of what we need in this country to finally empower workers to be able to organize and put some teeth in it to protect workers who are, you know, whose rights are violated.
It's passed the House, not this session, but previous session, I believe. Yeah. It always gets gummed up in the Senate.
Yeah.
you know, because you need to make that filibuster.
Being serious about labor reform,
right?
There's no politicians that have proven to be like. I mean, there's a handful, but no like majority, no party that has truly proven itself to be willing to actually go the. You know, they'll get close and they'll be like, you know, we're not going to get it done this time, but you know, we'll give you a Senate hearing so you can all be on TV.
Yeah,
you know, they pat you on the head, ask for campaign contributions. You know, and that's the best you can ask for.
In Illinois, we're taking one aspect of the PRO Act, which is ban on captive audience meetings. I mean, because the PRO Act is a comprehensive, you know, almost omnibus bill where there's 7-8 different provisions in it that would help organize union members and help uplift union workers or workers to become union members. But here we're doing one aspect of that with the ban of the captive audience meetings, and I believe that was part of it in Vermont as well.
They ran the whole gamut. They did the whole thing, and they called it the Vermont PRO Act. So, you know, I talk a lot about Illinois leading the way. This is one place where I'm super happy to see Vermont leading the way, and I hope that this spreads. It's doable. It's good. It doesn't hurt anybody. So, you know, more of that, please. But we've got to take a quick break, but there's something I wanted to talk about in relation to this summer's Olympics, which are being held in France, which we will get to right after the break. So stay with us here on 720 WGN for more Workers' Mike.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megant Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back to The Workers' Mic here on 720 WGN. Ed Maher here with Phil Davidson. This show has been flying by, which is great. I'm eager to get home and start doting and gifting and doing all that fancy stuff
what are you fixing?
For Mother's Day. I'm doing brunch.
Okay.
I'm doing brunch, so it's going to be microwaved breakfast sandwiches from the freezer
from
aisle.
From Jimmy Dean?
He's the best, right? No, I put on a pretty decent spread. It might not surprise you to know that I can cook. I can eat, but I can also cook. Then we're, you know, going out to dinner and hopefully spend some time outside enjoying the weather. And, you know, what does every mom want more than anything on Mother's Day? To get away from her kids for a while. So
that's true.
I'm going to try and build in some time for that. But yeah, so before we took a break, you know, we're going to talk about this story from coming out of France from the Olympics. But I wanted to say something very important, and that is we want your comments here on the show. We want to hear from you. So we're going to make that easy for you. And we have an email address. That email address where we want to hear from you, tell us what your thoughts are, tell us what you like about the show, even if you don't like something about the show, which I can't imagine.
Impossible.
Not even happening. But if you want to do that, send that too. Or just something you'd like to hear more about. We'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for listeners of the week, which we'll get into right before we close the show out. But send us an email at workersmike@wgnradio.com. That's workersmike@wgnradio.com.
And I think we need to remind our female listeners that you and I are both married, because on our previous email we would get a lot of
ran out of space,
right?
Because everyone's
are they single, when they kind of meet them, what's his phone number,
that guy looks really tall,
so let's just keep it to the topic. You know, our relationship is
we're flattered, ladies.
Yes,
don't get us wrong, we are flattered, and so is Ken. He's not here to talk about it, but I mean, he probably got, you know, for every 10 emails or 20 emails me and Phil got, there was one in there for Ken.
There was one for Ken.
So, you know, on Ken's behalf, let's just take it easy on all that stuff. So, but we would love to hear from you in all seriousness. So reach out. But getting back into some of the meat of the show, the Olympics. You know, some people like the Olympics.
Coming up when? In July?
I don't know what month it is.
Yeah,
I think it's
coming up soon.
June, July, sometime in the summer. But it's being held in Paris. And so, like every giant thing, the giant sporting thing, whether it's the World Cup or the Olympics, they're doing a tremendous amount of construction, you know, finishing up all these venues.
Yeah.
And like every other giant competition, they're using largely migrant workers to work for as little as possible with, you know, just cut corners as much as possible with safety regulations.
Yeah, the IOC is not known for their progressive work policies.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably better than FIFA with the World Cup. When they, when they did that
in
Qatar the last time, there were like thousands of workers who died of heat stroke, and they just didn't do anything about it. So Paris has been saying, and the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has been saying that they have a great safety record and that, you know, there are no injuries, no deaths, all that kind of stuff. it turns out there have been deaths, but the deaths are among the migrant workers, and France is just simply not counting those.
Oh, yeah, they don't count.
They're not counting migrant workers as dead people.
Of the 1% of our workforce that is native, we've got no deaths or injuries.
How many dead guys does that guy count for? That would be zero. Yeah, he's from somewhere else.
That's terrible.
I mean, that's really playing with the numbers, but I don't know. I mean, what's your thought on the Olympics? I've always just kind of thought they should just pick a place and have it there every time. Do it in Greece.
Well, yeah.
Instead of building all these venues that just crumble.
Go back to the original homeland, right. It just sounds like it's such a boondoggle just when you remember what Chicago went through when Chicago was one of the finalists to host the Summer Olympics. And
I wanted that bad.
Everyone did. Obviously, it would have been great for the unions.
I just wanted it to get rid of traffic.
Yeah, right. But
that's what it takes.
There's a lot of, you know, those structures. They tend to get left behind, you know, and like the Olympic Stadium in Montreal, I mean, there's moss growing out of that thing, you know, and what you saw in Brazil after the World Cup there of, I mean, I get why you should do it, but you're right. It kind of maybe makes more sense to go to, you know, a dedicated host city and have it there.
Well, the next World Cup is being held in the U.S., and they're not. It's U.S., Canada, and Mexico. So they're using all existing stadiums. Yes. They're not having to build stadiums.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty cool.
That'll be cool. Yeah, I think Kansas City, which is in our jurisdiction with the Carpenters Union, is going to be hosting some games.
You'll have to get down there for that. Yeah. And I'll have to come with you because, you know, I don't like you driving all by yourself.
Well, we have to do an MCL remote interview there. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That is actually a really good idea.
Yep.
Well, we're nearing the end of the show. And before we wrap, we would like to recognize our listeners of the week. And being that today is a special day, it's Mother's Day. We want to recognize our mothers.
Yes.
So on behalf of me, I want to say hi to my mom, Jane, who I know is listening.
Yes, as well as my mother, Ellen. Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Ken, his mom, Sylvia, she's out there listening, I know for sure.
Thank you for all your support.
For sure. So moms.
That's our key demographic right there.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Moms are our key demographic for
hosts and sponsors,
everything.
Mothers.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody out there, take care of your moms. If you're a mom, find somebody to take care of you.
Yeah.
And just have a great day and come back with us for more Workers' Mic next week right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.